From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
It's always a pleasure to interview Steve McFadden, some call him Phil Mitchell, and on the South Coast for a few weeks, he'll be known as King Rat. Steve, welcome back to John Hannam Meets.
Nice to see you, John. Lovely to be here.
You're here at the Mayflower today because it's Pantomime Day in September.
Yeah.
Dick Whittington, December the 15th to January the 6th.
Yeah, can't wait.
You love Panto. I've seen you twice in Panto.
Have you?
Once at Woking and once at Milton Keynes.
Yeah. I remember you coming along to both of those. It's both good shows, and hopefully we've got another one here.
You were Captain Hook in those days, weren't you?
I was. I was last year.
But, were you?
Yeah.
There was a lovely story when I came to Milton Keynes. I think your daughter was in the show, wasn't she?
Tiona, yeah.
Yeah, and you were driving along the motorway afterwards and somebody pulled up alongside and waved.
Yeah.
And what did your daughter say?
She said, "Oh, they remember me from the show, Daddy."
Lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know you were building sites, Market Trader and Dorm and nightclubs, but you had a calling, Steve, didn't you? You had a calling when you were sort of... Were you sat in a college when it happened?
Yeah, I was studying and wasn't, you know, very happy. I sort of went back to college. I'd done various jobs, as you say. I hadn't really found what it was I wanted to do. So I just found myself in education because I was trying to... find a route out of kind of where I was, and I just looked out the window. I saw some builders hauling bricks, and I thought, I don't want to go back to, you know, that sort of that world. I don't want to be here. This isn't my world. This college intellectual world isn't my world either. What I'd really like to do is be an actor, and it literally was like that. It just went bang. I just thought, I'd like to be an actor. That's what I want to do.
I think you told me years ago you could have gone off the rails, but you went in a different direction, didn't
Thank
you?
God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. RADA too. That's yeah. Rather posh, wasn't it? Or
yeah, it was. It was posh. I just got this obsession and went into Foyle's bookshop, found some drama books like Look Back in Anger and Complete Works of William Shakespeare, picked out some speeches and started doing auditions and got rejected by everybody except RADA, funnily enough, which is ironic because they're supposed to be the best, but it seems the worst rejected me and the best took me in, so I'm not complaining. Very happy about that. Had a great time there.
Actually, you directed a play at RADA and you got a few of your old mates in from Soho, didn't you?
Yeah, it was not a whole play, it was an excerpt that was... called The Prize Fights Night, and we did a dramatisation that develops into a fight. So I got some of my old pals from who were quite good at that sort of thing, and we went on stage, and I won a couple of prizes that night. Yeah.
Steve, in the early days, your early TVs, Bergerac, The Bill, The Firm, and then Bust, you did. You were always a tough guy, weren't you?
Yeah, it's turned out that way, yeah.
But you played a copper once, but you did play a copper, but I think, was he a bent copper?
He wasn't a goodie, let's put it like that, yeah, he's a bit of a baddie, a good baddie.
Yes.
Never ever just a goodie have I played.
So EastEnders in a way opened the door for you, but I know it could have gone one way or the other, and luckily for you it went the right way, didn't it really?
EastEnders?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it pretty quickly was a success. I didn't really know what impact I'd had because I wasn't familiar with that world and I couldn't read the signals. But after the first few weeks, they asked me to sign for 2 years, and then they rebuilt the arches, which when we first went into the arches, they were kind of a bit of a higgledy-piggledy set of flats. But then I went back in there after me and Ross had signed our new contracts, and they, you know, they spent like 20, 30, 40 grand, I don't know how much, it was a lot of money though. And you suddenly realised actually they're investing a lot in the Mitchell Brothers, and that kind of when the penny dropped that, oh, I'm involved in something quite important here.
You, Ross and Barbara, you were electric together, weren't you? I mean, it was just fantastic, really.
Yeah, I suppose just one of those things when they call it chemistry, don't they? Just the right people come together. And, you know, me and Ross, we were together, and kind of Barbara, when she came along, completed the whole family and made it what it became.
How did you cope with instant fame? Because you'd been on TV, but nothing sort of, no long-running series, and all of a sudden there you were, watched by millions. Did you take to that easily or not really?
I didn't find it difficult. I had a lot of fun and enjoyed it, and, you know, a lot of doors opened, you know. I'd be queuing up to get in a nightclub before, and then they wouldn't let me in when I got to the head of the queue. Now I jumped the queue, went straight in, and they gave me free drinks. So I never struggled with people being nice to me. And generally, that's been 99% of the public anyway. They've always taken me to their hearts and been very generous and respectful. And it's been a pleasure being famous. And I don't quite get the problem with it. So
you don't get that much aggro, do you?
No.
Mind you, you're a big lad, aren't you, really?
Not really. I'm not a big lad, but
well, you know what I mean.
I don't know, I suppose you get a vibe off people not to to cross them. Maybe I'll give that vibe off, but I think people are just generally respectful and nice, a lot nicer than, you know, you might think they are. Some of the stories I can't believe what happens to people, but I'm not mostly. I had a good time with the public.
Steve, recently there's been a brilliant series on TV called Bodyguard, which had 11 million viewers, and they were saying how wonderful it was. When you did Sharon Gate, there were 28 million viewers.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah. But at the time, it was amazing. You know, you really felt the numbers were, you know, you felt it on the street, basically, when you went into supermarkets or a pub or whatever. It would go crazy at the time because over half the nation were watching your show.
There was Who Shot Phil, and then you pulled a handgun on someone, didn't you?
Yeah.
Amazing storylines, really.
Yeah, I've had an absolute ball.
Over the years, Steve, you've had well over 200 cliffhangers, haven't you? In the sort of series, you must.
So they tell me, yeah. Yeah, which is pretty important, because if you've had the cliffs, you've been carrying the story, basically. So, you know, numerically, it's proven, because it's very hard to tell when you do a drama what your involvement is, because, you know, this person's in it and that person's in it. But if you've got the cliff, then you pretty much know that the story's based around your character. And I've had a lot of those, so I'm very proud of that.
How's the liver, by the way?
The liver's fine. It's shaping up nicely. I'm not abusing it.
Obviously, you married Sharon, and that's been a big sort of storyline as well, a running storyline, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, me and Tish go back a long way, so it's nice to work with people that you're familiar with, you're comfortable with, and again, you've got the chemistry with. So, you know, it always worked with me and Tish, and hopefully it still does.
When we last met, you'd sort of just left after 14 years, actually, and you needed a break.
Yeah.
And you had about a year or just over off, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you did other projects. Did you just need to recharge your batteries at that stage, or?
Yeah, just, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of constant stories and a lot of cliffs, a lot of things to cry about and get angry about or get upset about. And doing that week in, week out just takes it out of you. So just fancied not doing that for a while, which I did. And I went sailing on boats and.
You're into all that, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. That's normally why I come down to Southampton. This is a boat show. That's my big escape.
Is it?
Yeah, I love the sea. I love sailing. You know, people say to me, oh, this place might have changed, you know, in Cornwall or Mallorca, that's changed. But I always say, you know, 100 yards off sea, it hasn't changed. It's the same as it was a million years ago. So I love nature. I love travelling. And a bit of fishing, swimming. Just taking in the world, and there's no better place to do that as a platform than on a boat.
And then you were happy to go back, and you've been there, of course, ever since, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've just had a little couple of weeks off. Just been out sailing, actually, out in Mallorca.
Have you?
Yeah.
I think my daughter's been on your boat. You took some of the cast of a show out on your boat, I think, some while ago.
Yeah, I try and get friends to come along. But it's nice to do on your own as well, you know, you really get away from everyone.
I've come over from the Isle of Wight, so cows would be sort of a dream for you, wouldn't
it? Well, I did it years ago, and actually my son did his sailing navigation skipper's certificate over there.
Did he?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Had a great time.
You keep fit. Do you still run a lot? Or?
I don't run. I'm not a great runner, but I'm cycling, I'm swimming, and I do a bit on a rowing machine. So it's, you know, aerobically. But I don't punch the bag anymore. The bag punches me, I think. It's got the upper hand these days. So, I'm just nice, gentle stuff. But that keeps you a little bit fit anyway.
Last time we met, you were on a diet which you called Monk and Manic. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the Monk and the Maniac. I'm still.
Oh,
pretty...
sorry, Monk and the Maniac. Yeah,
yeah. A Monk in the week and a Maniac at the weekends. Are still.
Is that still the same?
Yeah, it's pretty much how it is. When I went to RADA, I realised, you know, I had to concentrate and focus on my work, but I also needed a bit of playtime as well. So I abstained in the week from all sort of, you know, having a beer or eating too much, and then, you know, come Friday night, I'd have a few beers. And eat what I want, and I'm pretty much still do that to this day.
Steve, can I just ask you, when you started EastEnders, it was two episodes a week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which was probably comfortable in a way, but now there's more. Is it more stressful for you?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the numbers have gone up of the cast as well, so it's divided by the numbers of the cast. Some ways the story structure has actually been broken down, so you don't get so many big scenes. 7-8 pages used to be quite standard. Now it's down to 2 pages. So although you do a 30-minute show, if you break that down into 2-page scenes, they're much easier to learn. If you're trying to learn 10 pages or 22 pages and go at that full tilt as we do at EastEnders, non-stop, that's a thing to do on a weekly regular basis. But the structure of the scenes within the show, they've become shorter, so they're easier to learn now than they used to be. But we still get those episodes where, you know, the two-handers, the big specials, where that is required of you.
How do you learn lines in? What's your little secret?
There's no secret, it's just hard work. I mean, my dream would be to stick a chip in the back of my neck and download it. That's what I'd like to do, but yeah. Unfortunately, there's no other way. Just have to, you know, memorise it and go over it by holding your hand over it and just until you've memorised a page, and you do the next page and the next page and the next page until you've joined all 10 pages up.
I remember years ago going up to Coronation Street set, yeah. And some of the actors would say, "Good morning, can't stop, I'm still learning my lines, I'm on screen in 5 minutes or something." Is it like that on EastEnders or not really?
Yeah, I mean, I try and get out. I don't leave till 5 minutes before. But you're still brushing up as you do them. I mean, you don't know you know them until you've done them. So, yeah, so that's a pressure. Because I didn't think I would ever have a job where I had to be tested every day on my memory. But that's where I've ended up.
Right, pantomime, you're here at the Mayflower and tour. Yeah. December 15 to January the 6th. I know you love panto because I've seen you playing, as I said earlier, Captain Hook. So what's your take on panto? It's great for you because it's away from other work, isn't
yeah,
it?
I mean, it really is a focus of my year. When I talk to the kids about Christmas, we talk about panto. That's what my children and family always think. You know, they come and see me in the show. It's part of my family life now. Part of, as you said earlier, my daughters have been in the show. A couple of them have been in shows, or they all come and see it. My mum and dad, they come and see me in the show. So it's a really, really big part of our family life. So there's that aspect. I also get to come and to a new town and get to know it. So I'm looking forward to finding out all about Southampton and where the nice restaurants and pubs are, and get to know the vibe of the city. Normally I just come here for the boat show, so I'm looking forward to that. Getting to know the cast. I know Bobby Davro, but he's the only cast member I know. I'm looking forward to meeting everybody else and getting to know them. And then doing the show itself, it's a chance to get a live audience and get feedback and laughter and that sound of the theatre that is unique to panto. And hearing, well, I can hear him now in the background, Bobby Davro making them laugh. You know, you're in the dressing room waiting for your bit to go on. That excitement of being in the theatre, there's nothing like that. And how I see my role in the show, you know, it's a bit of me being a bit of Phil Mitchell, a bit of a King Rat and driving the story on, and a bit of Steve McFadden, hopefully, of people seeing who I really am, because I'll sort of, I don't know, just open the door a little bit to having a laugh and making a bit of an idiot myself, probably with Bobby, hopefully, see what he gets up to, and I'll take that. So it's you know, it's all sorts of things for me, really. It's I call it running away with a circus. It's fun, it's a crack, and we'll have a good time.
When I first met Bobby, he was doing a summer season on the Isle of Wight, his first ever summer season. I think he was about 19 or 20.
A while ago.
Yeah, yeah. And he's done awfully well since then.
Yeah, he's great, Bobby.
So, beyond EastEnders, have you got any ambitions, any sort of role you'd like to play? Or?
No, I mean, it's only when you ask me questions like that I realise I haven't got any ambition. I just go with the flow. I'm just, you know, I'm happy playing Phil. I'm happy coming doing this panto and, you know, go home and see the kids tonight. So life's good.
Thanks for your time. I know it's a busy day. It's a pantomime day here, so you've got loads of interviews to do, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And
likewise.
Long may you continue your run in EastEnders, because you're, well, you've won so many awards, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been good, and I'm going to just keep on keeping on like Barbara Windsor, hopefully. And all the best to all your listeners on the Isle of Wight, a place I have enjoyed a few times. I love it over there.
Lovely. And Steve, good luck in the panto. I hope to come and boo you in King Rat.
Right, you're more than welcome, and anybody else who wants to come along with you.
Is this the first time you play King Rat?
The second time.
Oh, is it?
Yes, I've got half a clue what I'm doing. But, you know, it's Bobby's show, really, because it's always the comic that drives the show. So I'll be working with Bobby, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that pans out, because it's the, you know, we're here for the laughs, really. We're not here for the, you know, the dark, evil,
no,
nasty side. So,
and you'll have, well, two hands or two paws or whatever, because normally when I've seen you, you've had Captain Hook's hand. Or
yeah, yeah. I'm sure Bobby will sling a pie or two in my face.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you very much, and good luck in the future.
Thanks a lot, John. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.